Hello, this is David E. from CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Today we have April Brucker joining us for an interview. She's a musician, songwriter, ventriloquist, and comedian. Thank you for joining, and I hope you enjoy. Hi. So yeah,
Hi.
my name is David. I'm from Radio Waterloo. It's really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, David.
Yeah. Let's jump right in. Would you like
before
to?
Before I do, yeah. Is it okay if I bring out a puppet or two during the interview?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, I just don't want to scare you.
No. I was not warned because like, it's nothing scary, I guess. But I was told about
some people get scared. Videos. So.
Right. Yeah, no, that's completely fine.
Okay.
Is that May or do you have like more characters?
Oh, I have May and I have Donald J. Trump. I have a whole cadre. I'm ready to go.
Nice. Yeah. So would you like to just before we like get into the more specific questions, would you like to give a more broad introduction about yourself and what you do?
Sure. Let's jump right in.
Can you just tell us a bit about your music?
My music? Well, my music and my art, I'm April Brucker. I live in fabulous Las Vegas. I have a song called Merry Christmas, I'm So Glad I Didn't Marry You, that I recorded with my puppet partner, my gold digging sidekick, Mae Wilson, who will be out shortly. I also recorded a song, well, Mae Wilson did rather, with the world famous Ink Spots. And to those kids listening and watching, the Ink Spots, you can hear their music in Fallout. And because what's old is new and what's new is old, vintage is coming back and ventriloquism is hot. And I just wrote a book called 250 Years of American Ventriloquism, how ventriloquism influenced American pop culture. And by America, I mean the United States. I, you know, should have included Canada in there, but, you know, my country's turning 250 years old. We're young compared to the rest of the world, but we feel old. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I guess because you have like a really very wide range of different art forms, let's say. Maybe we can, you know, do it bit by bit. So how would you describe your music in terms of like style?
Style, I would say that my music and my art in general, whether it's my music, my comedy, and my writing, is funny and eclectic. For instance, Merry Christmas, I'm So Glad I Didn't Marry You is a humorous song, and it's about the dating duds in years past. And also, that's the way it is, that the song that Mae Wilson recorded with the world-famous Ink Spots. It's a remake, actually, of the Ella Fitzgerald Ink Spots version from 1943. Bill Kenny, the original lead singer, recorded it with Ella Fitzgerald. So I love the old stuff. I love vintage. And in my book, 250 Years of American Ventriloquism, I talk about working with the Ink Spots. But fun fact, it's not the first time a ventriloquist had ever appeared with the Ink Spots. As a matter of fact, Ink Spots were always on the bill with Variety Act. So I would have to say that music and variety forever, baby.
Nice. And would you... Because I did listen to that song, actually, and then because it features the Ink Spots, it's more like a vintage jazz style, right?
Yes.
Would that be a genre that kind of has a bigger influence on your music? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I actually came up singing standards because in college... I went to NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. And I had to take a singing class, and I considered myself a legit actor. And I was at the Lee Strasberg Institute, and I had actually enrolled in a social dance class because my mom's like, if you're going to be an actor, you better marry rich. My teacher had a stroke. So I needed 2 credits, and they said, you should take a singing class. They said, I'm a serious actor. I don't sing. Well, guess what? This class was not for serious actors. It was through the Institute. A lot of my classmates were from outside the United States, and standards are big in Europe. And because English was a second language for a lot of these kids, mm-hmm. we sang standards. And so While a lot of people were singing show tunes, I was learning to sing on standards, and thank God I did, because standards never go out of style, whether you're in the United States, Canada, Europe, Asia, Australia, etc. Everybody knows standards. And even Renee Fleming, who, believe it or not, is an opera singer. I don't know if you know her. Do you know Renee Fleming?
The name rings a bell, but I wouldn't say I'm familiar.
Well, Google her. She's pretty amazing. When she was working her way through Juilliard on what's known as a D grip, it's sort of like a post undergraduate certificate. She sang in a big band to pay the bills. So, and every once in a while, she'll do a standard at one of her concerts, and it never goes out of style. So I love standards. I love big band. And yeah, that's a genre that I absolutely adore.
Nice. Yeah, and what about your other, because I listened to like some other songs of yours as well, and are those more like solo projects?
Some of them are solo projects, because the funny thing is that the viewers might know me from My Strange Addiction, because a number of years ago, funny story, I was engaged, and how old are you?
I'm 23.
23. Okay, so you know all about red flags. You were learning right now. I had to learn about red flags the hard way. Apparently, when somebody proposes on the third date, you should run. But anyway, it's not as romantic as they say. But I thought I'd found my Prince Charming. I thought I'd found my Mr. Okay. Boy, was I wrong. He said me or the puppets. I chose him. I thought becoming a ventriloquist was a pipe dream. So I put my puppets under the bed, and after about a year, when I discovered he had other problems, I was depressed. I looked under the bed, there were my puppets, and I missed them, and I told him where to go. So I was street performing, somebody took my photo, heard my story, and the next thing I know, I'm on TLC's My Strange Addiction. And so from there, people wanted to know what else I did, and I was delivering singing telegrams to pay the bills as I tried to make it as a ventriloquist. And so I was, in fact, singing. And would you like to meet some of my friends?
Yeah, of course.
Why, hello, David. April didn't say that you'll be so handsome.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
So, David, what are you doing after the show?
May, leave David alone. He's just interviewing us.
So, David, you have any questions for yours truly? You want to know what it's like to work with the Ink Squads?
May, come on. He's asking me the questions. No, he's asking me. He's asking me. He's asking me. He's asking me. So May, what was it like to work with the Ink Squads now that you brought it up?
Well, just like yours truly, they are show business legends. So, David, how does it feel to have a star such as myself on your show?
Oh, I'm absolutely flattered.
Thank you. Can I tell you something else, David?
Of course.
Miss Piggy is going to be great when I'm done with her.
May, Miss Piggy's listening.
Oh my gosh, I love you, Miss Piggy.
And we told him about the Christmas song, Merry Christmas, I'm So Glad I Didn't Marry You. I dedicated it to my ex-fiance, the one who got me featured on My Strange Addiction.
It's streaming worldwide, and April and I are the coaster children.
So, May, I told him about that song. What do you have to say about that?
Well, Mariah Carey is the queen of Christmas, but she's Mariah's scary, and I'm going to dethrone her.
May, David has Mariah Carey in the back, don't you, David?
Yeah, she's right behind the curtain.
Oh my god, Mariah, I totally love you. I'm only kidding, David. Seriously, I love you, Mariah.
So it's going to be that kind of a show.
Duh. So, enough about me. Let's talk about you, David. So you're Canadian, right?
I'm actually Chinese. I moved here quite a few years ago for school, and then I'm just sticking around.
Okay, well, come on, David. You know that I got some hot sauce.
May, leave David alone. Come on, seriously. Like, let's focus on the interview.
Seriously, David. You know, on another note, April and I were in some magazines this year.
That's life.
And we were on a newsstand in Hong Kong. You ever been?
Have I ever been, you said?
Yes.
My sister was born there, yeah. Like, I have relatives
there. So you've
been
to Hong Kong? You totally been to the place that we were in a magazine?
May, it's not that big of a deal. People go to Hong Kong.
Edgar ain't wrong.
So May, I was telling him about my new book, 250 Years of American Ventriloquism, How Ventriloquism Influenced American Culture? Yes, it's a book that I wrote. No, May, I wrote the book. No, I wrote it. No, I wrote it. I, May Wilson, wrote the book, and April Grucker said it. I said no such thing. You're cutting the words, and I'll say you just said it. Oh, you're overwhelming, David. Whatever. So, David, let's get down to business. Are you wealthy? May.
I am indeed not. A student is, being a student is far from that, so.
You know what? This conversation is so eager, May. Money can't buy you love. But it can buy you a yacht, a mansion, and a lot of diamonds. See you later, David. May Wilson.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thanks for bringing up May. That was.
I know. That's what everybody says. She's quite a gal.
Yeah. Was the gentleman's name Joe? Because I heard that name quite a few times in
there's song. Joe Biden time and there's Donald J. Trump. Would you like to meet a current president and past president?
Oh, I thought that's the name of the guy you were singing about in those songs.
Oh, one of them was Hell No Joe. That's an old song I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a different story from the...
That's a different story. Joe, you want to hear that story?
I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Do you? Okay. Joe was a comedian in New York City that was making some noise. And I just visited my sister in Nashville when this all happened. And so he sees me in the back of a club. He's very handsome. We leave. We have dinner. He calls me the next day. We start seeing each other. And I think I found the man of my dreams. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he's supposed to call me, doesn't. And so he takes me out. And he starts asking me strange questions about my financial situation. He starts asking me strange questions about my work situation. He is strangely relieved that I am over 18. So anyway, and Joe is coming up in the world and he's asking me just weird questions about my credit score. He's getting strangely jealous. And so anyway, I am like, maybe this isn't a good idea, but he was having a bad night because up to this point, it was really good. And he takes me back to this place that's really nice. It's a penthouse. Well, anyway, he doesn't call me. And 2 weeks pass and I go on Facebook and he's chatting up another girl using the same tired lines. So I'm heartbroken, but life goes on. Right, David? Life goes on.
Yeah. With the same lines as in asking the same questions to other...
Yeah, so anyway, go on. So anyway, fast forward, I find out that it's not his apartment. He's a super in this building because he's down on his luck. And it's another tenant's apartment that he had taken me to. And he's about to be evicted.
Oh.
And because of bad behavior, his management has dropped him. And he might or might not have sexually harassed a 17-year-old waitress.
That explains the 18-year-old line then.
Yeah, so anyway, fast forward. He calls me. Actually, he texts me and he says, I've been thinking of you all week. It is 2 weeks later. So I ask him if it's a mass text. And he just blows up on me. And so they're like, April, you need to write a country song about him. And I did.
So the country style was specific to that song?
Yeah, that song. My sister was living in Nashville, and yeah. I thought I need to write a country song.
That's cool.
Yeah, and apparently he heard it and he didn't like it, but oh well.
Well, what is he going to do?
And actually, I saw him a few months later in the train station. I'm walking along, minding my business, and I hear him call my name. And it's just, you know, I haven't thought of him. And ironically, it's when I was laying the finishing track on the song. And I turn around, it's him, and I kept walking. And he exploded in the middle of the train station, like just threw the biggest adult temper tantrum.
I mean, out in public, though, that must be kind of scary as well.
Oh, but that was totally him. Just a narcissist.
Yeah.
Red flags, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. in a happy relationship at the moment. So
you know what? Happy's good. How long have you been seeing your significant other?
Nearly a year.
And you like them?
Yeah.
That's good.
Met them at the right at the end of my undergrad, and then it was still going steady.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
So you're not writing angry songs about them?
Nope. No, at all.
You haven't lived, man. What's your significant other's name?
What's her name? Yeah. Violetta.
Violetta. Hi, Violetta. We love you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we love you. You're great.
I'll be editing these, and then I'm sure she will hear it.
Well, she'll be, yeah, I think she's great. If she makes you happy, David, she's great. I like her already.
Yeah, thank you.
She got the endorsement of a stranger that talks to puppets and writes diss songs. I'm sure that's going to make her night.
Yeah. What's your songwriting process like? Do you start with the lyrics first, or because that one was a solo project, right? Like you did the music and the lyrics?
Yeah, I start with what I'm feeling, honestly. And I go from there. And one thing about women, and I can say this about all women, is we're feelings. We're all feelings all the time. Yeah. And whatever I'm feeling, whatever makes me mad, I write about it. And that's why, you know, the book that I wrote, 250 Years of American Ventriloquism, was so important, because I felt that I was the person to tell the story. So whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm passionate about, it's something that me and the author, Brooke Jarvis, have in common, is when we get fixated on something, we just go.
Yeah. I mean, as a fellow artist, I'm sure I understand this same drive as in like,
yeah,
when you feel the inspiration, then you have like a certain urge and then you have to do it. Otherwise it goes away, right?
Yeah, and it's like, and sometimes the ideas just come to you. With Mae Wilson, the way I created her was she was based off of a girl that made fun of me in school, but another friend I had that wanted to marry a wealthy doctor and drive a red convertible. Like, that is the whole reason she was going to nursing school.
Mm, okay.
It's about goals.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what's your music background like? Well, besides like theater school, I also saw the 26 minute track of the monologue, but I didn't have time to finish that.
Oh, well, my musical background besides that was after I left my former fiance and I was trying to be a ventriloquist. Mm-hmm. I needed a job and I was also out of theater school to support myself. So I worked as a singing telegrammer, and I was everything from a banana to a gorilla, to Marilyn Monroe, to a kid. And I delivered to Kelly Osbourne, Betsy Johnson, the Saudi royal family on several occasions.
Yeah.
And everybody else in between, the head, the CEO of the NHL. But I also delivered to everyday people as well. So essentially, I sang every day. And I also wrote a book about it called I Came, I Saw, I Sang. It was my first book. I was 25 years old. I was living without any air conditioning. I was living on ramen, and 23-year-olds, this sounds familiar, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cheetos was a food group, and I did it.
Nice. So I guess you're like, you don't really stick to like one style, one genre, or whatever.
No.
Right? It's whatever that comes to you.
I am an absolute Libra. I go everywhere, and that's why I write books, you know, 250 Years of American Ventriloquism is a history book. Don't Read My Lips is a how-to book on ventriloquism, and I Came, I Saw, I Sang is about my life as a singing telegrammer in New York, which I was your age. I was very, like, I was young, like, you're, you know. And then I have another book called April Unwrapped. It's a rare book. It's a coffee table book. It's an adult coffee table book. So I do not stick with any genre, whether it's music, whether it's comedy, whether it's puppets, whether it's acting. I'm absolutely an air sign.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess coming from the acting background, the flexibility is sort of just comes naturally.
I suppose it does. I mean, the thing is that whenever I create a character, I look at the character and I say, okay, who is this? And my characters are notorious for having a favorite food, a family, a backstory. They have a way that they take a shower. Mm-hmm. My songs all have backstories. And my books all have backstories. I have a love-hate relationship with everything I've ever created or written. You know, if you get me and Tori Amos in here and Chapel Roan, like, it could get really crazy in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, those details are what grounds the characters, right?
Of course. And actually, it's a method thing. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times when actors, like really serious method actors, will develop a character, that character, they say, how's that character take a shower? And you're like, why does this matter? But you stop to think, because I take a shower one way, but a woman who lives on a farm and just had her husband leave might take a shower a different way. You know, I might mm-hmm. take a shower one way, but a woman that's a vice president might take a shower a different way. I might take a shower one way, but 23-year-old April, oh, you know, she's living in a shoebox. She might take, I hope she showers.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and can we also talk a bit about your ventriloquism background? Like, how did you get into it?
Well, I grew up without cable. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when I was in middle school, we finally got cable because my brother was playing American football. I just want to differentiate because the World Cup's on right now mm-hmm. and people call soccer football. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my father wanted the local channel and he fought with the cable company. Are you old enough to remember cable TV?
Yeah, it was about when I was a kid, it was still a thing. And then, well, I also grew up without, like, it. So,
you know, the 40 channels, you know. Mm-hmm. So he calls, he fights with them. We end up getting 40 channels. He only wants one, okay? Well, we have to get the 40. And he hates the commercials. Mm-hmm. So we end up getting the sports channel. It's 40 channels worth of commercials. So finally, we were watching one night after one of my brother's high school football games. He's got the one channel he wanted. And he changes the channel, and there's an Edgar Bergen tribute. And it's famous ventriloquists like Jeff Dunham, Ron Lucas, you know, maybe a young Nina Conti. And the rest of my family members try to talk like the ventriloquist. But she's the only one that can do it. Okay, Mr. Hand. And that Christmas, April's mother got her a Groucho Marx figure. The tree.
Right, and then that's like what inspired you to give it a shot and get into it.
Yeah, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because I feel like ventriloquism chose me. I don't feel like I chose it.
Mm.
And it's been thankfully choosing me ever since.
And that first exposure to ventriloquism, that was when you were like very little, or?
That's when I was 13, and this is why the visibility of the art form is so important. And when I wrote 250 Years of American Ventriloquism, I mean, I am flattered just to be a speck in a much bigger story. And ventriloquism is actually popular around the world. There's an online platform. It's called School. I don't know if you're familiar with it, SKOOL.
No,
well, for those of you that aren't, they have a lot of different groups by a lot of different creators. And the Ventriloquist Guild, that's my group, has almost 150 members worldwide. And we had one fellow from Cuba. And because of the sanctions there, he could not get the materials he wanted to learn ventriloquism. He was a children's birthday party performer. Mm-hmm. The ventriloquists banded together and sent him PDFs. And that's the kind of community that ventriloquism is. And this is why I'm just so grateful and blessed to be able to tell the story.
Right. Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah, like finding this community as like, I suppose, artists of any kind is like a truly powerful thing.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's always absolutely powerful.
Yeah. Do you perform live With ventriloquism?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, coming up this fall, accompanying my book, and I'm just going to show everybody my book. I actually have a lecture program called 250 Years of American Ventriloquism, The Untold Stories. And I plan on taking it to museums, cultural centers, performing arts schools. President Trump, you wanted to add something? Correction! The program's called Hidden Voices, The Untold Stories of American Ventriloquism. Thank you for correcting me, President Trump, on my talking point. Thank God for these guys. But yeah, I intend to take it to performing arts schools, museums, libraries, and I also intend on trying to make people laugh at comedy clubs, corporate events, theaters, etc. So I do perform live and I love it.
Nice. And is this like a 50-50 with your music performances or?
I perform kind of a full show. It's all one show. I perform.
Oh, I see.
The comedy, the music, the storytelling, etc. So I do it all in one show, yes.
Nice. Yeah, we're running a bit low on time, so I think we'll cut the interview short. But yeah, like, really nice to meet you, and best of luck to your music and your performances. And
thank you, and check me out on aprilbrucker.tv. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And also, how recent is the book launch?
Just a month ago.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Then best of luck to the, you know, sales of the book as well. And the
thank you. And it was, thank you, David.
All right.
Absolutely. And hey, and seriously, congratulations on the relationship. That's important.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you for the songs about Red Flex. I'll keep those things in mind.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Nice to meet you. And nice to meet you too. Have a nice day.
You too.